Howdy, everyone. A happy Sabbath to you. It seems like there's a human desire to be able to explain all phenomenon. Many early people on Earth explained thunder as coming from gods. When a group of basically uncontacted islanders in the Pacific were suddenly thrust into the middle of World War II, they were faced with what had to have seemed to them unexplainable. The U.S. Navy came. They built airstrips. And then the planes came. And they dropped shipments of cargo from the sky. All the things that the Navy needed were magically flown in. And then the war was over and the Navy left. Now, some of the islanders that were there thought that if they replicated the things they saw the soldiers do, the cargo drops would magically appear again. The islanders formed what they called a cargo cult religion. The term cargo cult religion comes from the islanders' acts that they did, such as they would go out and build an airstrip, and they would build wooden planes, basically mock planes as well. And then they would don Navy uniforms and go out and march just like they had seen the Navy do, all with the hopes that the appearance of the material wealth from the sky would come down again, just like they had seen during World War II. The islanders formed an actual religion around the desire for the return of cargo. Unfortunately, that religion is an empty religion. Since this discovery of this unique form of religion, several other people have spun off the term cargo cult and coined it to describe what might be described as less naive behavior. But nonetheless, having kind of a form of something, but lacking the function of what's actually going on. An example of this is from the Nobel laureate Richard Feynman. He coined the term cargo cult science to describe people who were doing science experiments correctly, but were missing a critical part of the science, of the scientific process. An example of this cargo cult science is a scientist using somebody else's research as the control for their own research. So in other words, how do you know you've taken in account all the variables of a controlled experiment when you haven't even done it yourself? And this tends to lead to erroneous results. Another term that was similarly coined was by Steve McConnell. He coined the term cargo cult programming in computing. And an application of this is by taking code and cutting and pasting a code into a program, or taking program structures and just putting it into software, which doesn't really serve the purpose for the software. They're taking the form, but not the substance of what's going on. Again, they're missing the substance. So, given our society today and the world that we live in, I think it's really hard, if not impossible, for us to see how the islanders, with their virgin eyes, would see this new technology. And we might be tempted to mock the folks that were there because it was all new to them. And they had no idea what was happening to see strange objects in the sky all of a sudden dropping cargo. However, as both Richard and Steve have pointed out, we too can fall into similar traps despite of, or perhaps because of, our own cultural backdrop that we live in. So today, let's talk about some biblical ways to avoid cargo cult traps in our religion. And so here are three ways to avoid cargo cult traps in how we worship God. The first way is to listen to godly, experienced opinions. The second way is don't shortcut to an answer without learning. And the third way is be willing to change. Be willing to change. The first way to avoid falling into this trap is to listen to godly, experienced opinions. A way for us to help shun cargo cult mentality is for us to hear an experienced third party give us godly advice. You know, various people visited these islands over the years, and they tried to tell them what was going on and why they had seen that. But the islanders never seemed to have gotten it. We ourselves may not know something in our spiritual life is amiss unless somebody with godly experience tells us that they see something wrong in our lives. I believe it is our duty both to listen to and to give godly experience to each other. Let's take the account of Moses and Jethro in Exodus 18. I'm not going to turn there, but just kind of go through the story with you. Moses was busy being a judge for the people all day long, and the people had to line up, and he was judging from morning to evening. And Jethro asked him why he was doing this all day long, making the people wait. So Jethro advised Moses to delegate some of the responsibility to others. And Moses took note and did as Jethro advised. Now, if you want to take this analogy a step further in application in your life, solicit feedback first with an intent to listen to what someone else can provide you in terms of guidance. Because a truly good friend will openly correct you. And you can trust a friend who corrects you. But the kisses from an enemy are nothing but lies. The second way to avoid falling into these traps is don't shortcut to an answer without learning. We have an intense desire to be right, even when we don't know how or why. The islanders, they had an intense desire for more cargo from the sky. And you know what? They put a lot of work into their rituals to try and make that happen again. But the islanders never realized what it took to actually bring the cargo. Do we have a lot of effort, and we put a lot of effort into our spiritual rituals, but don't develop a relationship with God? God does not accept from us a superficial answer. He requires a relationship with us. So let's read together about the danger of this cargo cult mindset in Matthew 7:21. Please go to Matthew 7:21. Because we must go deeper. Not everyone who calls me their Lord will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only the ones who obey my Father in heaven will get in. On the day of judgment, many will call me their Lord. They will say, we preached in your name, and in your name we forced out demons and worked many miracles. But I will tell them, I will have nothing to do with you. Get out of my sight, you evil people. The third way for us to avoid falling into these traps is to be willing to change. We need to be willing to change by realizing that you may need to change before you even know how or why. What is it going to be like for us to stand before God's throne and hear his judgment of our life? I think it's important for us to think about that day. God will be able to give us a direct evaluation of our life. How good of a parent was I? Was I effective in representing God on earth? I think at the judgment, there will be things that we have gotten wrong. And if we are aware that while we're walking around here on earth today, we're currently wrong about different things, it's easier for us to see where we are wrong and be willing to change. Otherwise, there is a huge burden on us in terms of overcoming if our assumption is that we have universal correctness right now. I must be willing to be honest with myself, and I must be humble enough to change. Let's take the example of Josiah. This is in 2 Kings 22:10, and this is just to break into the story. Shaphan stated, "The priest Hilkiah gave me this book." Then Shaphan read it aloud. When Josiah heard what was in the book of God's law, he tore his clothes in sorrow. At once he gathered together Hilkiah, Shaphan, Ahiam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, and also his servant Asaiah. He said, "The Lord must be furious with me and everyone else in Judah, because our ancestors did not obey the laws written in this book. Go find out what the Lord wants us to do." Josiah took the Baal idols for what they were, meaningless, and he destroyed them. But worse than worshiping false idols is being self-righteous. A humble person must be willing to know they are wrong and change. So apparently, the cargo cult religion is still active today. It is a vain religion. It has the trappings of religion, but never comes to fruition. The cargo never comes. Our spiritual lives can likewise have the trappings of religion, but we can end up like trees which bear no spiritual fruit. God does not want us to be that way. We can combat wrongly addressing unknowns in our lives by listening to those with godly, experienced opinions. We need to consider what we do and why, because having book knowledge of God is not a substitute for a relationship with Him. And when we are honest with ourselves and we find fault in who we are, we must be willing to change. That creates true spiritual growth.